You have your Bible?
Turn to the book of Hosea. Amen. Book of Hosea. Chapter number 10. Hosea chapter number 10. I want to begin with just a couple verses this morning. Verse number 12. The Bible said, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." I want to preach this morning for a little while, if God will be our help, on breaking up fallow ground. Breaking up fallow ground. He says here that if we sow to ourselves, amen, we think about that, and we think about that a mindset of sowing. Amen. If you want to sow, we're looking at the sowing, and we're looking for fruitfulness. Amen. And we're looking for fruitfulness to the fullest. Amen. When I sow my garden, when I do my gardening, when you do your gardening, we want to plant it and get a full result. We want to get a full benefit of what we sow. Amen. Every one of us. I mean, I don't. If I go out and plant a row of beans, I don't want to get three or four little old beans. Amen. I want to get bushels and bushels of beans. Amen. Praise God. So I'll have enough for me and have enough for others. Praise God. But as we look at this today and we think about some things here, he says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness." Now, what is righteousness today? I just want to look at a couple words, and then we'll get into the message and the thought that the Lord is trying to give us today. Righteousness is blameless conduct. Amen? It's standing with blameless before God. And it's not in our righteousness, because we know our righteousness is as filthy rags. But it's in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what prevails. It helps us to have right actions, and it helps us to have right attitudes. But if our actions ain't right, our attitudes won't be right. Amen? But in a true righteousness, praise God, our actions will be right, our reactions will be right, amen, and our actions will be right. It'll be those that'll be pleasing to God. I got to thinking about that, you know, and it helps us even when we get into older age, praise God. You know, by living a righteous life, God has promised us a longevity. He tells us in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, he said, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Amen? Praise God. He said, it's okay to have that hoary head, that gray hair upon your head, if you will, those ages, that age upon you, praise God, and said, it's a gift and a promise from God if we do it in righteousness. Amen. So the hoary head, praise God, he said, it's because of that righteousness that we do, because of the way of righteousness. There is a way of righteousness today, a way that's right. And there's not many out in this world that's a seeking that way today. Amen? So we see the Bible says that we sow to ourselves in righteousness and we reap in mercy. And now mercy is nothing more than loving kindness. Amen? That's what God shows to us. It's that goodness and it's that faithfulness, praise God, that God shows to me and you. You know, the Bible teaches that we should be showing that to others along the way. We should be showing mercy and loving kindness to those that we come upon. As I was saying, but I was thinking about the Psalms, 136th Psalm. Amen. Have you ever thought about the 136th Psalm? Every verse ends, "And for His mercy endureth forever." He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," verse number one, "for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." We have a whole lot to be thankful for, don't we? And we have a lot to be thankful for that His mercy endures forever. It's new every day. And God offers it to it. It affords us, praise God, an opportunity and relationship with Him. He said, "To him who alone doth great wonders." Amen. Praise God. The things that God has done for His mercy endure forever. That's why He does it. He said, "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, and for his mercy endureth forever. Because of the creation, because of what God has done. But God just keeps getting bigger and bigger in my eyes as I begin to read this. Because his mercy endureth forever. He said, to him that made great lights, his mercy endureth forever. To the sun that ruled by day, for his mercy endureth forever. Why does it, praise God? Because his mercy endures forever. Amen. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, because his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. That's why he did it. That's how he did it. For his mercy endureth forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Just step by step by step, God's mercy still endures. Amen. He said to him that smote the king, or to him that led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Who slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Did they deserve it? No. So who remembered us in our low estate? For his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Who give thanks unto the God of heaven? Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. A reason to praise the Lord today. We've all got a reason to praise the Lord. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Praise his holy name. But we see as we look at this, he said, to break up your fallow ground. He said, for it is time to seek the Lord. Now notice some aspects here of God's word. He said, there's a time for things to take place. Amen. I'm thinking sometimes we wait too late and time runs out on us. Hello? Time runs out on us, praise God. We need to take full advantage of the time that God gives us. Praise the Lord. He said, when it's time to seek the Lord. When's it time to seek the Lord? Right now is the time to seek the Lord. Amen. It's not time. It's not in the future. It's not when you do this or get behind this or get this done or accomplish this. He said, now is a time to seek the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Somebody just shout or raise your hand or something. Are you still here? Amen. You say, well, Pastor, we know this. Praise God. Yeah, but we gotta implement it in our lives. Praise God. Where it'll make a difference. So we see there's a time to seek the Lord. And we seek him, the Bible says, till he come. And rain righteousness upon you. Amen. He said, till the rain starts to come. In other words, praise God, we seek the Lord, praise God, till the Lord starts to pour out on us his goodness and his mercy, which endures forever. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't settle, praise God, for anything less, because it takes the rain to make it grow. It takes the rain, praise God, the righteousness of God to make you grow. Now, the rain, the righteousness, what is that righteousness of God? That we need poured out upon us so we can grow for his glory. Amen? So that's what Hosea's trying to tell him. He's trying to tell him we need to get lined back up where we need to be. But he says there's a problem. He said the problem is, look at verse number 13. He said, you have plowed wickedness. Amen? He said the problem is you've plowed wickedness. He said that's wrongdoing. And wrongdoing ought to bring, listen to me, wrongdoing ought to bring condemnation. It ought to bring conviction, amen, upon our hearts. Amen. He said, you plowed wickedness, amen, and you have reaped iniquity. Amen. He said, the problem is you've plowed in wickedness, that it's wrongdoing that ought to bring condemnation. He said, you've reaped iniquity. Iniquity is sin and evil, praise God. And it should bring guilt. Hello? Amen. We're living in a day and hour. Listen to me. Men have been turned over reprobate mind. They do wicked, vile things and it don't bother them. Amen. Hey, it ought to bother us just to think on such things. It ought to bother us because other people are doing them. Hello?
Amen.
It ought to get us our attention. We ought to be going up and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. I know that's not popular in the day and the hour that we live, but it might keep some soul out of hell. Amen. If we'll just tell them that Jesus loves them and you do too. But we won't do it because there's a problem. The problem is they've plowed wickedness. The problem is we've reaped iniquity. The problem is that you've trusted in thy way. Amen. He said we become confident in ourselves. Our confidence in us, praise God, will mess us up. Because our hope and our faith oughtn't to be in us. Our hope and our faith ought to be in the Lord. Amen. We ought to be lifting Him up, trusting Him. Because He's the one that makes the difference. Amen. So you say, but preacher, if this is the problem, then what is the solution? I'm glad you asked. You said, well, preacher, I didn't. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Amen. The solution, praise God, the Bible says here in Hosea chapter number 10, verse 14, He says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, and said, break up your fallow ground. Amen. So the secret is, the answer is to break up the fallow ground. Amen. Now what does it mean to break up the fallow ground? What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that's not been cultivated. Fallow ground that's been left alone. It's become weed infested. Amen. It's grew up. Praise God. But He said we need to break up that fallow ground. So what we begin to do, we begin to break up the fallow ground. You say, what happens when you begin to break it up? You begin to, when you get that fallow ground broke up, what it does is it opens it up and the weeds begin to die out. Amen? It destroys the weeds. When you open up, praise God, the insects don't have nowhere to go, so they have to leave. Hello? The vermin that's there, praise God, will have to flee. It gets rid of the weeds, it gets rid of the insect, and it gets rid of the vermin that's there. Amen? Because that caused this land, it said, this fallow ground, praise God, this ground, it's hard, it's cold, and sometimes it's clay. Amen? So it has to be broken up, amen, praise God, aerated, if you will, so that the elements that's there can have an effect. Amen. The thing about fallow ground, praise God, you can't sow it, you can't hoe it, and you can't grow it. Amen, just a fact. Amen, it won't take, it won't do no good. So He said we got to plow up that fallow ground. That ground that's been left alone, that ground that's been hardened, praise God, that ground that's been infested, it has to be busted up. So we see what takes place as we begin to move this thing along, as we begin to plow up our fallow ground. Every one of us has fallow ground. Every one of us has fallow ground in our life, praise God, that's never been cultivated. It's time to cultivate, praise God. Hosea said, it's time to cultivate that fallow ground. Amen. It's time to begin to get to begin to get the obstacles out of the way. There's some fallow ground in every one of our lives where there's obstacles. Amen. So we have to get rid of it because you can't sow it, you can't hoe it, and you can't grow it if you can't get it plowed up. You can't get it tillable. Praise God. So what do we got to do? We got to remove the obstacles. Amen. And now we can't, hey listen, when you're plowing, you can't just go around the obstacles. Amen. Sometimes you have to. But praise God, there comes a time that you got to plow those obstacles out of the way. Hello? I was thinking today, George come by and he plowed the garden for me. And my garden is a place, a metropolitan sewer line goes right through the middle of my garden. A 20-some inch, I think. Now, it don't run out in the garden, so we don't use it for fertilizer. But the pop line goes right through the center of my garden at an angle. It's been there ever since I was a little bitty feller. Amen? But when they done that, amen, when they done that, praise God, they was a lot of things that happened there. There was a lot of rocks and a lot of hardness that they dug up. And when they filled back in, they just packed that stuff there. So I'm constantly digging up rock. Mia told me one day, she helps me about every spring when I plow up the garden, and we'll take my tractor and trailer, and we'll go through the garden and we'll pick up rocks. She told me a year before last, she said, "Papa," I said, "What is it, Mia?" She said, "This garden grows rocks." I said, "Yeah, pretty much." Every time you till it up, you till up those obstacles. And now, when you till up those rocks, when you go to till it with the row with a garden tiller, sometimes if they're big enough, it'll pick up those rocks. And then you bounce and go to squealing. Hey, man, you got to stop, back that thing up, and get them out. Throw them out of the way so you can go again. And as George was plowing that the other day, I've got places in there because of that situation. That's the cause of something that was put there. Now, this was man-made. Man put it there. Hello? If we ain't careful, we get in our own way. But because that's there, you got to be real careful when you plow it, because there's certain places it's harder than others. And if you don't watch real carefully, now listen to me, as you plow along, that plow will rise up out of there. And you'll plow shallow. Amen? And when you plow shallow, you'll have hard places that you can't sow, praise God. And you can't hoe it, and you can't grow it. It just won't wait, just don't work. The soil has no depth. So what you got to do, you got to manipulate that lever on that plow. Amen. Brother Junior can tell you, praise God, you got to work that thing, you got to watch that plow, and you got to watch where you're at, and you got to plow straight, and you got to plow through, praise God, and you got to manipulate that handle to keep that plow running at the right depth, so it'll roll that fur over, praise God, in a goodly manner, so that when you get her tilled up, and you disc her up real good, it'll be just like powder. Amen. What are you doing? I'm saying we got to plow right, praise God, so that we can have a place where we can sow, and you'll be able to hoe, and praise God, it'll take off and grow. Amen. I believe these places in her heart today, amen, need to be plowed up, amen, so that they can be sowed with the goodness of God, so that they can be hoed, praise God, cultivated to make things grow. The goodness of the Lord. Amen. Where does it start at? Amen. It starts when we plow it up. Amen. When we break up that your fallow ground. The fallow ground in your heart, my heart. Praise God. So, preacher, how do you do that? When we begin to pray and we confess, praise God, the sin that we've committed against God. Amen. Every one of us have committed sins. We've done things that break the heart of God. Amen. Hey, man, if you're going to break up fat, foul ground, praise God, you can't, listen to me this morning, you can't keep going around those things. You can't keep leaving them in there. You got to plow through. You got to plow through, praise God, that God will get the glory. Get rid of things in your life that so easily beset you. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying you can't hold on to those little old pet sins. You say, well, preacher, nobody knows about them but me. God knows about them this morning. Amen. That's time, praise God, to plow up that fallow ground, to get, praise God, to plow through them things so that God can plant His love and His hope and His peace down in your heart. So we have to confess those sins. Amen. To plow up that fallow ground, confess the sins that we've committed against God. And then there's one that's even about as big as that. We have to confess those sins that we've committed against man. Amen. The things that we've done that's contrary to our brethren. Hello? Hey, preacher, I get such and such. I ain't a forgiven them. I done them wrong, but I'm never going to tell them. You've got some hardness, praise God. They some foul ground in your life, praise God. Need to be cultivated up so that the things that so easy was said it, praise God, that'll mess up the soil can be foul. That word foul, to praise and to plow it up in foul ground means to make, get rid of these things where the soil is made mellow. Amen. We ought to have, children of God ought to have a mellow heart. Amen. A heart of joy, a heart of respect, a heart of love. If you ain't got that this morning, praise God, I'd dig and I'd scratch and I'd get rid of the thing. I'd plow up that foul of ground till I got her everywhere. Amen. You can't run along as a Christian, praise God, run along and planting and doing good and then get to a hard place, praise the Lord, without plowing it up so that the whole field is cultivated. I can't stand it. When I plant my garden and you get in those hard spots and nothing won't grow. You have a pretty little old row of beans or a pretty little row of corn. You get out to a certain spot and you have about 20 feet, nothing comes up. Amen. George is a plowing through there with that tractor and he got to one place and he wasn't, but he's watching the front and he says, he's plowing. You got to keep your eyes on what you're doing. You've got to watch the front end of that tractor so you can keep it straight. And you've got to watch that plow so you can keep it where it needs to be. Amen? Hey, somebody told me one time, first time they plowed, said, you know what? That's not as easy as it looks. Amen? That feller was me. I told Pap one day, my dad said, he said, son, go get on there and plow that garden up. It's when he has had heart disease. He was getting pretty feeble. He said, get in there. Go, you can do that. I said, well, yeah, I can do that. I've watched you all this year. Pray God, there ain't nothing to that. I'd jump on there, man. Josh, that's the awfulest mess I've seen in my life. Amen? You want to say, go, when you go to plow up that fallow ground, pray, it takes some effort. It takes training, praise God. It takes expertise. It's not an easy thing to plow up that fallow ground because his flesh don't want to do it. The flesh wants to just get on there and go with the flow. I remember the first time I ever plowed, we had an old 35 Massey Ferguson. And that thing, the brakes wasn't good on it. And I go out through there, and you know, in order to plow, sometimes you got to ride one brake or the other to keep you straight, to keep that thing in the right row. And that old 135, the brakes wasn't worth nothing on it. And when I got done with that, I praise God, I got about halfway done. I told Dad, I said, something just ain't right. He said, son, you got to feather that brake. I said, Papa, I'm standing on that brake, praise God, but it ain't cooperating. I was trying to watch that blade, amen, the plows, and I was trying to watch the front of the tractor, and I was trying to, and I got done, praise God, it looked like a snake had crawled out the row. Amen, nothing, hey, it wasn't nothing about it straight. Now, Dad could plow that thing, and it'd be straight, and when he got done, you could run a disc through that thing after a few days. You know, we'd plow it and we'd let some rain on it. We'd let it freeze a few times and then we'd cut that thing with that disc. And when he got done, you could just about plow it. He could about lay off the rows with the disc. Amen. You could just about lay it out because he knew what he was doing. Amen. Praise God, you got to plow up that fast. And it was just as consistent, praise God. And every bit of it could be sowed. Every bit of it, praise God, could be hoed. And every bit of it could be growed. Amen. Praise God, they had spring up. Praise God, things have begun to grow. And you're just so excited because the rows come out even and the rows come out full. And glory, hallelujah. I don't say that's what happens when we dig up that fallow ground, when we get rid of all that stuff. Amen. Praise God, that's a hindrance. Praise the Lord. We begin to see that fallow ground. We begin to see that mellow ground. Praise the Lord. So we confess our sins that we've done before God. We confess that sins that we've done before man. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Hey, praise God. Hey, we can, every one of us can sit down this morning and write up a whole list. You won't because it brings conviction on your soul. Amen. But John, every one of us could sit down this morning and make a list, praise God, of all the places that we come up short. Amen. Every one of us, Praise His name. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm running pretty good. What about pride? Pride ever come up in your life? Amen. You get prideful, boastful. What about carnality? You ever have a carnal thought? Ever have to deal with a carnal mind? You say, preacher, I don't even know what that is. That's when we get caught up in thinking more about the world than we do about our God.
Amen.
That carnal mindness. Praise God, we got to get rid of that pride. We got to get rid of that carnal mindness. What are you saying? We got to break it up. Praise God, we got to bust it up. We got to turn it over. Praise God. And if you're going to turn it over, Josh, you got to turn it over to God. Amen. That's what we do when we plow the field up. Amen. We take that soil, praise God, and you roll it over there. And you say, Lord, there it is. I said, you take it and you rain upon it. You freeze it. You make it mellow. You get rid of the weeds and you get rid of the insects and you get rid of the vermin. Amen. So we can grow something. But we got to break up that fallow ground. We got to get rid of it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got pride and ain't carnal minded. I'm probably running all right. What about being a liar? Hello? You ever told a lie? Well, preacher, I've told maybe a little fib or two. But you're a liar. Amen. That's what that means, that you're a liar. We've all lied. Amen. What about having a hateful spirit? Hello? Now, this is shouting territory, praise God. We plowing true this morning. Busting up that fallow ground, praise God, so we can come and worship God and see folks get in, get saved, and get us ready to go home. Amen. So we see, hey, what about envy? You ever envious? Hey, amen. You ladies probably ain't, but me, us fellas, boy, we see a nice bass boat or a really nice shotgun. My goodness. Boy, I'd like to have that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What about strife? You ever strive with somebody? Amen. Contend with somebody, praise God. For no reason, basically for no reason at all, just cause you can. There's a lot of folks that like to stir up strife. There's people that live for them. You know them tater people? Agitators, instigators. They just love that. They live on it. They search the web to find it. Amen. And get in another argument, another fight. Amen. Hey, it'd be all right if we was fighting the devil. Amen. Praise God, but we won't fight each other. And that brings us to another point. What about having a bad temper? You ever have a bad temper? Amen. Hello. Boy, these heads going down all over the place. They're bad. Praise God. Lord, help us. Amen. Envy, strife, bad temper. Praise God, we need to turn it over to God. We need to till up. Praise God. We need to break up that fallow ground. Amen. What about greed? You ever do greedy things? Amen. Praise God, I'm going to get that, and I don't care who knows it. Amen. Greed. It comes up on us, praise the Lord, if we ain't careful. Amen. But we need to break up our fallow ground, need to plow through that stuff, need to get rid of it so God can get the glory out of our lives. Amen. Praise God. Plow through. I remember one day this past week we went out to Anchor Broadcast and Brother Randy Martin was talking about his daddy was a plowing and said when he plowed, he said they was in the field he was plowing, so there was a couple of old stumps. And he said daddy didn't just try to plow over them old stumps. But said what he did, said when he got up to them, said he had cut that thing right around the outside edge. Amen. And what he'd do is he'd try to catch the end of those tap roots. Amen. We got to get a, hey, listen, praise God. We can't plow it all up at once, but we need to sink the plow. We need to keep her straight and true, and we need to cut up the end of those tap roots. You know what happens? Every time you pass by, you cut her just a little more, and you cut it just a little more. That's all God asked that we do, youngins. He said we wouldn't ever be perfect this side of eternity, but he said if we'll keep a cutting, praise God, them old stumps that get in our way, keep cutting the end of those tap roots. Before you know it, praise God, you can hook a hold of the top of that thing, Brother Josh, and roll her out. Amen. Praise be to God. What a blessing. Amen. Then you finish plowing it, finish straightening it up. Amen. In a little while, that ground's fire, that ground's mellow, and you can plant in it. God be the glory. I said, you got to get rid of these things. Amen. We're living in a day and hour. Amen. Foul of ground. Listen to me. There's even adultery all over this country today. And the sad part is the church is standing up saying, you know what? That's okay. It's all right to love somebody. Amen. Praise God if it's your wife or your husband. Amen. But we're getting to the point in the day and the hour that we're saying, well, it's this adultery. It's fornication, praise God. It's happening all around us. We're saying it's okay. We need to bust up some foul ground, realize where we're at, and say it ain't okay, praise God, because God said so. Amen. Man, I tell you a lie every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God will tell you the truth to the saving of your soul. Amen. It's adultery and fornication. This cheating that's going on in the world. Amen. Praise God. Our eyes ought to be on our own prize. Amen. Your own wife, your own husband. And don't be looking to lust after somebody else's. Praise God. Or to focus on you. And you say, well, preacher, they just don't pay me attention like they used to. Or maybe it's the other way around, bless God. Maybe you don't pay them attention like you used to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Breaking up your own fallow ground. Plowing, praise God. Straightening things out. Amen. Getting a hold of God. What you say, what happened? We break out from the problem that they had here. We get rid of that self-righteousness. They had a righteousness, but it was self-righteousness. If we ain't careful, we get caught up in ourselves. And we'll look over at the old long ecclesiastical nose and say, well, I'm better than he is. I don't do what he does. Yeah, just because he's a sorry, no-count, rotten scoundrel don't mean that you can be too. Amen. Praise God. We got to pray that God help us to be like Christ is, like our Savior is. Amen. But we get caught up in self-righteousness. The next thing you know what we're doing? We need to bust up our fallacy because we've neglected the Word of God. Hello? It is so easy. Brother Billy was saying this morning, it's so easy, we get so busy. We get so busy that we forget to remember God. Amen? The Word of God will help us every day if we'll get it. But if we can't dig in the book every day, at least come to church where you get in for somebody will read it to you, where you can get a little glimpse of heaven every week. Amen? Now, I know some people can't come every time the doors is open. I realize that. But praise God, we ought to come when we can to get in and get Dev in this blessed old book. Praise God. Break up the fallow ground of our souls. Amen. So that Jesus can come in. So we can be a light to others. So we can have a burden. We get a lack for reading the Word of God. We get in the way of a lack of prayer. How's your prayer life? You say, well, preacher, I try to pray and ask God to bless my food. Bless your heart. That's better than most. Hey, man, listen, people come in restaurants all the time. They'll order their food, go sit down. They'll bust that open and go to stuffing it in their face without ever asking God's blessing on it. Hey, man, you're cruising for trouble. Hey, man, I would not put anything in my mouth in these places till I ask God's hand to be upon it. And you don't know who's back there. Hey, man, you don't know who's back there in that kitchen. Amen. Hey, man. We better bow our head. We better, but in sincerity, ask God to bless that food we're about to put in our face. It might save your life. Amen. But there's lacks in things that we do. Amen. Praise God. But he said we need to break up our fallow soil. We need to bust it up good. We need to bust it up true. We need to stay straight, praise God, with the task. Amen. And God can begin to bless us. Back in the early days, let's see if I can remember this right. Help me, Lord. I was reading a story about it was before one of the great revivals. And it said that there was an old blacksmith, was working in it, loved the Lord. And he was working in his blacksmith shop. And God began to really deal with his heart. Amen. God began to touch him in a mighty way. And boy, he just got plumb full. He got to running over. His tears was flowing up in his face. He got to thinking about him. He got to think about his life. He got to think about the community that he lived in. And the old fellow went over there, Brother Bill, and he took his open sign and turned it around and said, "Closed." He shut that door down. He got back over there. He got that back over there beside of that old Billis, where he had been a pumping, praise God, in the fire and the coals and the heat of that thing. And he got to thinking about people dying and going to hell all around him. And God began to break his heart. What did he do? He was plowing up fallow ground. He got down there beside of that. And he began to cry out to God. And God began to hear his pleas. And God began to move. You say, what took place, preacher? There was a prevailing prayer. I went out of that old blacksmith's life. And he got to God all over him. And he said, "God, please, don't let these folks around here that's been deceived die and go to hell without you. God, please touch their hearts." Amen. Old blacksmith bawling and crying, tears wetting his apron. Amen. He prayed and prayed and prayed. I don't know how long. They didn't say exactly how long. But when he got done, Brother Bill took that apron off, put it down, and he went and found the old preacher in the town, that man of God. Amen. And he said, "Preacher," said, "boy, God's got a hold of my heart. He's put a burden on me that I can't get away from. I feel, preacher, that we need to get together. We need to have a town meeting. Need to gather the folks in." Amen. The old preacher, he said, "Well, you know, God ain't spoke to me about it." He said, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. I was there," and he told him the story. And the preacher said, "All right." So this is what we're going to do. He said, "I'm going to put the word out." He said, "I don't know. Come." He said, one of the folks at church had a big house. He said, "We're going to tomorrow night. We're going to, at a certain time, said, we're going to ask these people to come to the house." And said, "We're going to just have a prayer. We're going to see, just see what God wants to do." And he thought, the old preacher and the old blacksmith, they went all through town inviting people, say, "Tomorrow night, we're going to have a meeting at such and such house. So would you come?" And the old preacher, like a whole lot of us, he doubted if anything would come of it. Amen. Had his doubts. Don't we do that a lot? Amen. Amen. He said, "I don't know who will come, if anybody. But we put the word out." Said that next evening, amen, about dark 30, people started coming. And they come from this side of town. And they come from this side of town. And they come from this side of town, from north to south to east to west. People started putting, until that house was full, every room was full. Amen. People was outside. People was on porches. People was standing out in the yard. They said there was a complete silence. Complete silence all over the place for a while. Nobody said nothing. Amen. Finally, there was somebody way over here in the back. Said, "Oh, glory to God. I'm glad you called this. God's been a deal in my heart." They fell down. They began to say, "Somebody, please pray with me. Somebody, help me." Before they got done saying that, there was somebody over here, and then there was somebody over here, and there was somebody over here. And before you knew it, people from all over the city was crying and agonizing. "Somebody, please pray with me." Amen. Prevailing prayer. It went before them, praise God, because of one man plowed up that fallow ground, got down beside his old anvil, praise God, and said, at old Billis, and said, "Lord, please don't let people die and go to hell." Amen. People was getting saved all over the place. Amen. Prevailing prayer. Amen. It leads to, the Bible says, lead to effectual prayer. No, effectual prayers, that's prayer that has an effect. That old man got a burden on his heart. And he began to cry out. Now he could have went out there. I think every time I think about that story, he could have went out there in the street. Boy, he could have made a big scene. Amen. So the whole world could see him. He didn't do it. He shut the door, pulled the shade, shut, locked the door, got down there beside that old Billis and began to cry out to God. Amen. I was plowing up that fallow ground. Amen. He said, Lord, go through this town and plow up that fallow ground. And praise God, make it sowable. Amen. Make it hoeable. Make it growable. Praise God. You know, God heard that. God heard that old man, that old blacksmith. Now the story goes that this old blacksmith had very little education. Just barely could read and write and cipher. Amen. Didn't know a whole lot. But he knew they was a God. And he knew they was a God. They was a Savior that cared for souls. And he cried out in prevailing prayer. And God moved, praise God. It became an effectual prayer. People began to fall down with the effect. And they began to get saved and born again, left and right. All over the place. All that had come from all over the city, all over the town, the community. Amen. Praise God. The old doubting preacher. They said the old doubting preacher got to wondering about this. Blacksmith Brother Bill had told him about what time that the Lord had really begun to deal with his heart. He'd fell down, shudder down, and fell down and got to crying out to God. And they began to talk to him. Now listen to me. They began to talk to these people that had come. And these people had fell down. These people had got that come under conviction. And he got the pastor got to minister to them one-on-one. Amen. To encourage them. And he said, can you tell me when God began to deal with your heart? And every one of them with tears running down their face. He said it was yesterday about such and such a time. And he knew that it was the exact time that the old blacksmith who was ignorant, unlearned, fell down on his knees and cried out to God.
Amen.
Prevailing prayer become effectual, effective prayer. And folks began to get saved. Amen. Praise God. God began to plow up fallow ground and give a place where seeds could be sowed to the saving of souls. Praise God. We need some fallow ground. Are you hearing me this morning, church? We need some fallow ground. We need to know, number one, that we're saved and we know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you say, well, preacher, when I was a little bitty thing, some preacher told me I was saved. That don't work. Amen. You need to know that the Holy Ghost of God dealt with your heart, showed you a sinner, showed you a Savior, and you came and you ran to Him, you confessed your sins, and He saved you by His marvelous grace. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved. But one of these days, you can't count on that. Amen. You can't get saved when you want to. I've had people tell me before, laying in a hospital bed. Well, preacher, one of these days I'm going to get saved, I guess right before the end. It don't work that way. If God the Holy Spirit don't deal with your heart, you won't be saved. Amen. But praise God, the Holy Spirit of God's wanting to move upon hearts now, but we've got to plow up that fallow ground. We, you and I, have to plow up that fallow ground. To get that ground mellow, praise God, so we can sow it. So we can hoe it. And so we can grow it. The Word of God, amen. Take it into the world. How is hedge compelling them to come in? This is the best part of life, is being a child of God.
Amen.
Those out there that's not saved, they don't have a blessed hope. We have a hope that's out of this world. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Praise God.